Well, as I was considering preaching on Father's Day, I came across this psalm, and what caught me was David here is talking about from his time of before he was born, time of his youth, even to old age, and I was like, okay, maybe that's a theme of fathering, big picture. And so that's what I hope we'll see out of this. It is a personal lament. David is facing a lot of troubles in his past and currently, and he's looking back to his childhood and on to old age, that God would enable him to stay faithful. So let's look at Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed. With scorn and disgrace may they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and cover me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. May God bless then the reading, hearing, and teaching of this, his holy word. So this is a big picture type look at Father's Day, fathering for the long haul. It made me think, and from this passage here, see, what do children need to hear from their fathers? That life is hard, that God is a rock of refuge, that they cannot save themselves, and that God's way is upside down to the world's way. And so this is something of a job description of a father, to keep the main thing the main thing. God and his rescue plan are the main thing. And that's what David does here. And he does it like a gentle rain. He goes back again and again, letting it slowly sink in, going to God who has rescued, who has redeemed, who has given him hope and assurance over and over again. Now, this is not everything on a father's job description, certainly, but it's the main thing. So, lean, laugh, and tell. Okay? Lean. Now, this is certainly throughout, but especially in verse 6. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. Okay? I have to say that I have some hesitation, and this goes along with lean, hesitation as a father myself. I mean, I certainly don't do all these things as I should, and neither do any of us. And that's part of the lean. So to state the obvious here, this is a prayer. Okay? And what does it mean to pray? It means I recognize that I am weak. I need help. God is a strong refuge. Let's go to him. Okay? So David here says, O God, or O my God, 11 times. Now this isn't, you know, OMG as a shout of shock or some kind of hashtag to get attention. This is him worshiping. This is him throwing himself onto the only refuge that really can rescue. Say, rock, refuge, fortress, rescuer, over and over these words. And I think this is a window into why life is so hard for Christians. So that God can prove to us again that he alone is all that we need. And that he alone is all sufficient. Because how did David learn this? How did he learn to lean? Through the hardness of life. Through all the sufferings he went through. Through all the attacks of his enemies. So that he can get to verse 20. You who have made me see many troubles and calamities. And you could insert the word bitter. Bitter calamities. See. So fathers, give yourself permission to learn through failure instead of running from any possibility of failure, and give your kids this permission too. Why? Because we learn to lean when we learn to fail. You, your personhood, your soul in and of itself is not a failure. It's you just are bumping up against the fallen world all the time. Okay. And so you will fail at things. Expect it. And it made me think of some of the highest paid people in the world are Major League Baseball players. Who, if they fail 7 out of 10 times, they are considered superstars. Right? If they bat 300. Right? See? They have learned to accept failure as part of the job. And this is where what Jesus has done for us makes a soul level, emotional level difference. Okay? He was perfect in order to earn God's favor for all those who trust in him. And he, although perfect, willingly put himself in your place to suffer the penalty for all of your failures. And so if you allow his record to become yours, well, wait a minute. Yes. If you allow Jesus' record, Jesus' perfect obedience can become yours. Yes. That's what faith means. See. Then if you lean, see, on his record, put all your weight, all your hope on his record, not your own, then you will be forever inoculated against the default human condition, which is moralism. The sweet poison of moralism. Wait, what? Yeah, moralism is the anti-gospel that the world is so good at preaching. Be a good person, because it's all up to you. And you can earn your own standing with God. It's poison. Because everyone has something on which they lean, right? Okay, it's part of the human condition. Whether you lean on yourself and your own abilities, your own talents, things that you did on your own, or you lean outside of yourself for comfort, for assurance, for peace, for freedom. This is everyone. And so fathers, fathering for the long haul means demonstrating and modeling what it is to lean on God and to see Him provide, especially in the midst of enemy attack. So I love especially verse 7. Verse 7 is where David says, I have been as a portent to many, but you, Lord, are my strong refuge. A portent is a sign, but it is an ominous sign. A sign that is indicating something bad is about to happen. And so David's enemies are seizing on that. I remember one time me and Amy had 3 kids and 1 on the way, and I lost my job suddenly. Didn't see it coming. And I had all this pressure, added pressure of providing for my family. You know, what am I going to do? And I was in a panic mode. And I had a friend who said, Michael, who really provides for your family? You? Who ultimately cares for your family way more than you do? And God did, and He did provide in remarkable ways that I'd love to tell the stories of. And so fathers, you know what it is to feel the responsibility of caring for and providing for your family, but who ultimately cares for them? Who ultimately provides? And how does He do that? By you leaning hard on Him, harder than you ever thought you really needed to lean, right? So lean again, go again, and again to the rock, the refuge, the fortress. And then you'll see verse 7 come alive, which is laughing and praising God. See? So I use laughing in the sense of this praising. David 6 times says here that he is praising God. And what is praising? Praising is rejoicing. Okay? You praise what gives you joy, what gives you relief, what gives you comfort, what gives you rest. And so when what you are leaning on gives you that, gives you what you're longing for, you can't help but praise. I mean, when your team wins the championship, aren't you all the more willing to spend time and money investing in that team? To get the t-shirt, to get the sticker, to get the video, whatever, right? So fathers, laugh, praise, wonder, let the joy overcome you. And this is kicking in the teeth the enemies of shame and derision. So look at verse 7 again. Okay. This sign of something ominous, something terrible happening, this portent. But then David says, but you are my strong refuge. Listen to what 19th century preacher Charles Spurgeon says about this verse. The believer is a riddle, an enigma puzzling the unspiritual. He's a monster warring with those delights of the flesh, which are the all in all of other men. Few understand us. Many are surprised at us. Here is the answer to our riddle. If we are strong, it is in God. If we are safe, our refuge shelters us. If we are calm, our soul has found her stay in God. So then David responds with verse 8. My mouth is filled with your praise. See, David is in awe, in wonder, laughing wonder. How can this be? Can you ask Can you ask that God would get you there? Right? That he would show you his power that he uses to bring blessing to his children who trust in him? See? Because laughter is such a wonderful tool in fathering. It brings lightness, right? It brings lightness to life and to troubles. The troubles aren't going to stop. Parenting is always going to be hard. Laugh at yourself. Laugh at your mistakes. Laugh at your kids' mistakes. It is so satisfying. When I attempt to make dad jokes at home, and my secret goal is to get my kids' eye roll so that I can see it, and then I turn and just cackle to myself. Right? Love getting the eye roll. Laugh at yourself. See? Plenty of it, right, kids? You laugh instead of condemn. See? You laugh instead of scorn. You validate your kids' fallenness by acknowledging through laughter instead of feeding it through scorn and shame, and you just need to do better. See? Now, yes, discipline needs to be involved. That's another sermon. Okay? But you laugh at the ridiculousness of the good news and how it still seems too good to be true. Right? It's supposed to stay that way. How can this be? Look at verse 19. David gets there. He says, "You who have done great things, O God, who is like you?" See, he's just marveling. He's hilariously, ridiculously laughing at how good God is. And as you laugh, well, as you lean, and then as you laugh, you will praise God, and then you will tell. See? Tell. Okay, so look at verse 15 especially, and then verse 24. "My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation. Their numbers pass my knowledge." So to tell of the mighty acts of God means to tell of his way of making the world right again, okay? Of how reconciliation happens, of how purpose in life is found, of how contentment is found, and peace and assurance and accomplishment. And so that works especially when you're confronting evil, when you're confronting lies. Because look at what they're trying to do in verse 10 and 11. These guys are tapping into the lie. My enemies are saying that, what? God's forsaken him. How do you defeat that lie? Well, let me go back. What is the lie? The same lie is told by the serpent in the garden. Okay? And that we are still susceptible to. Look at your life. I mean, God has obviously forsaken you. He doesn't love you. He doesn't want what is best for you. And his law is burdensome. And he's against your freedom. Lies. How do you defeat that lie? You keep telling the truth. See? Yes, life is hard. And yes, you are broken. And you cannot fix yourself. And yes, Jesus is that powerful and that good, so much so that he overcame death. So guess what? This is what it means to live as a Christian. Life will be hard. We will constantly be bumping against a fallenness. We will constantly be telling the truth against the lies. See? Go again to what your Father has done for you through Christ. God has given everything he has. He gave his own Son. He gives you his Spirit to live within us. And this is the job of fathering. So, a real world example. Your kid messes up. He messes up big time. And the temptation upon him is to shame himself. Very strong. How could you do that? What he needs first from his Father is compassion. What he needs first from his father is a hug. I love you anyway and always. Nothing you could do could ever change that. I don't love you because of your behavior. I love you because you are a gift from God. You are my child. Now, dads are good at fixing things too, so yeah, we are going to talk about, you know, how did this happen? There might be some discipline involved. What can we learn from this? Okay, yes, that's fathering. But if we don't go back again and again like David does to what God has done through Jesus, and we don't major on the healing that he purchased for us that is ours by grace through faith alone, then we default. We default again and again to moralism. Okay. And to do better next time. And that drives your children to idols, because they will find something that will comfort them. Something that will give them purpose. Something that will give them rest. So tell. Keep telling the truth. And then look at verse 18. Tell your own story. Okay, so verse 18 is for grandfathers and great-grandfathers. Until I proclaim your might to another generation. I just keep telling it over and over. Don't your kids love to hear the stories of when you were a kid? Unless it's the same story over and over again. Right? But what they need to hear even more is of your own struggles, of your own doubts, of your own struggles to believe, right? And of the myriad of things that God has brought you through. Verse 20 again. He has made me see many troubles and bitter calamities, but he has brought me through them. And he promises resurrection even. See, that's what verse 20 is. And then one of the most powerful gifts you can give is to tell your own faults, to give the gift of repentance. I'm sorry. I messed up. I hurt you. I need Jesus too. And so David then is ultimately pointing to Christ. All those things that cause you to cry out for help, all those things in your life that are hard, all of those things that tempt you to shame yourself, to call yourself stupid, to feel like you're alone, to go to your own resources. Jesus faced all of that too. And he leaned perfectly on his father, right? But his father ended up abandoning him so that he will never abandon us. Jesus was left utterly and completely alone on the cross. He was forsaken for us. And then, as David points in verse 20, Jesus was resurrected for us. So keep telling it, and tell it like a long, gentle rain, like David here, over and over, consistent, calm, easy to drink in. This is fathering for the long haul. So when you are confronted, and you will be, with the fact that life is hard, when you mess up, when your kids mess up, remember that God's way is to lead you to lean harder into him, to lean harder into what he has accomplished in Christ, and then to laugh more, and then to tell again the glorious good news that Jesus' perfection is yours, right? And your penalty was his, and his resurrection is yours and will be yours forever. This is fathering for the long haul. Lord, help us. Oh, Lord, yes, help us. Thank you for you being the perfect father. Thank you for all that you lead us into and through, that we might lean upon you as our rock as our refuge, that we might see Jesus more clearly, that we might laugh with praise and hilariousness of what you have done to accomplish such a great salvation. And help us then, Lord, to not only tell one another, tell our children, but to tell a broken world and so in need of hearing the glorious good news of what you have done for us in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.